This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. With me now on our First Advantage hotline is Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, I briefly hit this earlier in the week. I've been running around different spots throughout, but of course, wanted to get your thoughts as we start this thing right off the bat. Last week, of course, we had some players leaving the program, and we kind of said, okay, these make sense. This one has me perplexed. Melquan Stovall, who was one of the Nevada guys that came over, is now leaving the program as well.
Yeah, this one definitely came as a surprise when Jay Norvell announced that Monday. It was one of those, you almost do an audio double take of, wait, what? Did I just hear that correctly? Because, yeah, Melquan was one of the guys that came over from Nevada. You know, he played 3 years there under Jay Norvell. You know, obviously they had to have a pretty good relationship to play 3 years for a guy and then transfer with him. But yeah, Melquan has left. Kind of a curious situation. He was second on the team in catches. You know, probably not as many, or definitely not as many as he wanted, because it sounds like that's a part of why he wanted to go. He wants a different role. But I'm not sure how much bigger role they can get. Obviously, part of it is just the offense is really struggling. So I'm sure that's frustrating to everyone involved. But definitely a surprising departure. Like you said, the other ones probably not huge shocks. But this one definitely, was a surprise to myself and I think everyone.
Yeah, well, and again, because, you talk about the history he had with Coach Norvell and then the decision to come to Colorado State with all of that. So I'll ask you again, kind of like I did last week, is this a red flag or is this just a player that's seeing, oh, this is a growing offense. I thought we'd be further ahead. I want to be with I want to put myself in a better position. I don't know that I want to grow with a young quarterback like Clay Millen. You tell me, is this any kind of a red flag?
Yeah, and I don't think it's a huge red flag, more just a mark of the reality of where the program is right now. If it's, they're not great right now. I still think they're going to improve as the season goes on and end up decent. But especially, for some of these veteran guys, you can sit there and think, do I want to be part of sort of a rebuild or do I want to go try and win somewhere? And maybe Melquan thought that they could, would be further along at this point than they are and wanted to go elsewhere. I don't think it's a massive red flag. I mean, I've called my top sources just to check in and say, is there a bigger problem in the locker room? And the answer, consistently has been no, there really isn't. Obviously everyone's frustrated with losing, but it's not, fans, I think, like to think, we see some of these departures that are just, fist fights breaking out in the locker room, every minute, and that's not the case. But yeah, definitely a surprising one, no doubt.
Yeah, well, and again, I say it all the time. Every time we see the story, it's the nature of college football. It's the nature of college sports in general. You have to take some of these with a grain of salt. Doesn't mean it's not unfortunate. I think Rams fans would have liked to see Stovall because I know you've talked about him a lot. Like, he could be a big, big piece to this puzzle. So obviously fans are upset to see a decent player go, but it's the nature of the beast. If a player is not thrilled with his playing time or production or direction, they can go.
Yeah, exactly. And, I kind of wrote about basically just the logistics of this and why you see departures right now. Early in the season, I think fans still aren't used to that, but it's all about the transfer rules and the redshirt rules. If you leave before you play a fifth game, you can use the year as a redshirt. So that's why you see people, kind of in this first month, kind of September, if they decide they don't like their role or they want a different position or a different team, whatever, they depart right now so that they can save this year of eligibility. So that's why you see these, and frankly, I would not be shocked if we have more departures from this CSU football team before the Nevada game. Jay Norvell was pretty blunt yesterday saying, guys that don't, want to do what we're doing and, meet the standard, we're demanding, they'll eliminate themselves basically from their role. And so that to me, reading between the lines felt like a hint of, it's not impossible to think that there might be more departures and, he wants to mold this roster in his light.
Well, and it's about building a culture now. And again, it's so early on in this process that, yeah, you, just like you said, you got to caution fans with this. Slow down. It's, the sky's not falling. It's rough. I said it kind of last week. I was like, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, maybe, Kevin, we start to see the better happening. They have, and I'm not counting this as a win. I'm not yet. I'm not just going to chalk it up as easy. Sac State's coming to town. The next 4 weeks, though, or I guess they have a bye, too, so the next 5 weeks could be fairly positive for CSU.
Yeah, and that's the hope. You know, Jay Norvell has talked about that. You know, sometimes when you're, you know, doing one of these rebuilds, you almost have to bottom out before you start going back up, both in, you know, kind of wins and losses and even just production within the system. And, you know, I think we're, you know, seeing that with the offense. Obviously, it's not very good right now. I don't think any of us think that, you know, long term it's going to be an unsuccessful offense. So, yeah, I think you have to hope that this has kind of reached the bottom and now the climb back up starts. And, yeah, as I said, talking to Tanner about it on his show the other day, the mood could change a lot in 2 weeks. You know, if they, or 3 weeks, like you say, with the bye, if they beat Sac State and go beat Nevada after the bye, people will be feeling pretty good. Now, the flip side, of course, is if you were to lose both those, people will be feeling really bad. But, yeah, there is certainly a chance here, though, for the next month or so, that the mood could really turn, and we'll see. I mean, Sac State's obviously the first test in that, and no matter how the game goes, you know, this is now entering sort of the winnable part of the schedule where the team, you know, at least has a chance, you know, a more realistic chance, I should say, to create some positive momentum. You know, obviously, never say never, but the Michigan-Washington State games are always highly unlikely to be very good momentum builders.
Did you see, I mean, what were some of your takeaways from that Washington State game? Did you leave that game going, all right, I'm starting to see, and I know the score didn't show it, but did you see a few things that you liked that makes you feel a little bit more optimistic even for this season?
Not really.
No.
I mean, to be honest, you know, there are a couple. Justice Ross Simmons, the freshman, he looked good. I think we'll see more of him. You know, the defense came on late in the second half, but they've just got to start better. They're just non-competitive because of these poor starts. Again, I don't think that's necessarily foreboding what's going to happen the entire season. You know, I keep saying I do truly think this team will improve, you know, as the year goes on. But they've, you know, again, we keep repeating the same thing. They've got to figure out the offensive line. I need it. Just is a cascading effect. You know, that first drive against Washington State on third down, they're in max protect, and Clay Millen gets immediately sacked, had absolutely no chance. You just can't have errors like that.
That's the tough part. It's hard to do much when you're running for your life, when your offensive line is just not there. Are you seeing the growth with Clay Millen? Because we know, whether it's this year or the next few years, the idea is to really build around him.
Yeah, I mean, Clay, I know some fans, for unknown reasons, kind of want to put some of this on him, and obviously the numbers aren't great as far as, you know, scoring production, but the guy is just getting destroyed. When he is throwing it, he's very accurate. I think he's playing well, and I frankly cannot believe he's been able to last through these games. Some of the shots he's taking are pretty incredible. You know, even the touchdown pass against Washington State, he got absolutely lit up. You know, there are several times a game where I look down, I'm watching, and I'm thinking, oh boy, that's the one he's not going to get up from, and he somehow keeps doing it. So yeah, I mean, I am as or more confident in Clay Millen's future now than I was 3 weeks ago, despite, you know, the scoring totals not being very good. You know, I fully believe that if you can get him protected, he's going to be able to start putting up some big numbers.
Kevin, it's interesting. You know, I asked him on Monday. I talked about his toughness, and he kind of said, he's like, I honestly didn't know. Like, I didn't know how I was going to handle being hit in college football. But I think he was kind of like pleasantly surprised with himself. Like, dude, when you see he gets knocked out and then suddenly he's right back up. It's he got a lot of respect for this guy for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of said the same thing in our Monday press conference of, you know, yeah, I guess I've kind of proven something to myself, which is good. And, you know, that goes back to what we were talking to, you know, at the end of August of, you know, everything looks good about Clay, but we don't know how he'll react when he gets hit and things like that. You know, granted, we didn't think it was going to be this much, but again, he hadn't played in 2 years, and let's be real, he was on a really good high school team. You know, I haven't watched all the tape, but I'm guessing he was not getting licked that often. I'm guessing he was, you know, pretty well protected. So it's very, very new, but man, he has responded well, and you know, it's got to change. You don't really want, you know, the point of pride of your quarterback to be that he keeps getting up from getting smoked. Yeah. But I think it is a good sign that he has so far. But this is also not sustainable. I mean, if he gets hit like this all year, it won't be all year because there's absolutely no way he can last.
Kevin, any idea of what the turnout's gonna look like on Saturday?
I haven't checked in on number toll. Ag Day does always pull well. It should be a nice day, so I'm guessing it'll be similar first game, you know, high 20K, you know, 27, 28, 29. And this is, you know, we're kind of at the point with how the season started. You need to start winning to bring fans back in the following week. So, you know, like I say, Ag Day will pull well no matter what. Homecoming will do decent, but you need to start winning to keep getting people involved. I'm hoping the student show, they packed Moby for that first volleyball sellout,
yeah,
you know, a week or so ago. So that's a great sign that the students are still really engaged in athletics. But again, at some point, you're going to have to start winning. So I think we'll get a decent crowd Saturday, but after that, kind of result-based.
Well, let's see if they can get one against Sacramento State. Kevin, I know we're going to break into that game in more detail today inside Rams Weekly, so I'm looking forward to seeing you and Mr. Abshire later on this afternoon.
Yeah, it should be great. It's feeling very football-y outside.
Oh, I love it. Let's just stay like this for a while. I would be very cool with that.
Cool. Good ball joke.
You got it, Kevin. That's why this works, man. That's why this works. Kevin, we'll see you later this afternoon, man.
Sounds good. See you in a while.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. He gets me. He gets me, Angel. That was a great joke, and he caught it. I didn't know if he'd be ready for it, but he got it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Who's the bigger star in Colorado? Nikola Jokic, Nathan MacKinnon, or is it Russell Wilson? And I don't, like, Nathan and Nikola, like, they've already brought stuff. And I think Russell's going to bring stuff to you. This debate's probably going to be more fun in a year or two or three, maybe, hopefully. Hopefully we're not talking, like, it's just between Joker and MacKinnon at this stage. People are really scared of the seven-year deal. Like having Russell Wilson for 7 years. It's crazy to me because I don't think Russell's the problem. We'll talk about that in more detail. Is Wyoming good? Are the Cowboys good? They beat up on Air Force. I mean, I know Air Force got the lead late, but Titus Swen, dude, we got to get that guy on the show. Let's get that guy on the show. All right, 11:49 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.